Here's the thing I don't get, Chogger, is that Don Sweeney gets more for Milan Lucic 1 year away from free agency than he gets for Dougie Hamilton.
Yeah, okay, so run that down again. It's Jones.
Jones, the 13th.
The 13th.
And then a prospect in Milan.
Yeah. No, you know what? He's in a tough spot. Everybody knows he is. I mean, that organization, they've been at the top of the hill for a little while here, and they've been able to stay there. But turning it around on the fly is his challenge. And so here he is. I mean, he's trading a young guy in Dougie Hamilton. I mean, what's the fan base thinking when that deal happens?
Well, especially
right?
when DuPont says only wanted $5.5 million.
Like that's unbelievable. So, how's the fan base feeling about that? Well, now Lucic is gone too. I mean, so they're gutted. Now, what do they got? 14 and 15. So, they got to be going after the
Noah Hanifin,
right?
The Boston kid.
They have to be chased, because what he can say is, we're real sorry about Dougie Hamilton. Yes, we loved him too. He was going to cost us $6 million. Meet Noah Hanifin, everybody. You know and love him. He's from around here. And how long is it going to be before Noah Hanifin is 80% of what Dougie Hamilton is right now? Probably not too long. So if they can induce that trade from Arizona, some of this starts to come into focus and make sense. If they get up there and make two out of those three picks, and there's no Hamilton, and there's no Lucic, and they got Martin Jones to play behind Tuukka Rask, which doesn't really make much sense. They got to be flipping Jones, you'd think, to somebody. It definitely gets pretty interesting.
Oh, it's we were expecting some moves, and you were kind of, oh, geez, are we going to let down? And all of a sudden, we've had three trades, all involving first-round picks, and, you know, the 13th, the 15th, and the 21st. And you know, we saw Haggerty, and you know, I got to confirm from a source within the orders that they did indeed offer basically the same package at number 16, number 33, and 57 for Dougie Hamilton, and were turned down. Boston supposedly wanted Darnell Nurse, and of course Edmonton said no.
Yeah, that's going to be a deal.
But then they accepted the trade from Calgary. So clearly a similar situation, Ryan, to what we saw 2 years ago when Edmonton was told to say, okay, if you want Schneider, you got to get the 7, Marincin, and a second rounder. They said no, and then only the number 9 went. And it seems this was a similar situation, which is funny because it had to do maybe more personal, being Shirelli with his ex-boss.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what? You know what I wonder about too? Just thinking about this Jones thing a little bit more. I mean, the Boston Bruins get the market on the goalies right now, right? So Lehner is gone. Now Jones has moved. I wonder if maybe Shirelli and Sweeney talked, and if Don Sweeney doesn't know darn well the deal that is on the table for Martin Jones, and maybe there's an easy, quick flip here. I mean, they don't need this goalie. It doesn't make sense for them to have made him a principal piece in a deal involving Milan Lucic. It doesn't make sense unless they're going to turn and flip him. I can't rationalize or understand this deal for them to get that quality of backup behind one of the best starters in the game. It doesn't make sense. So they have to be flipping this.
I agree. The Jones acquisition, good for them, but yeah, it's got to be just him. And if you're Jones, you're thinking, oh, good, I got traded.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except I'm behind Jonathan Quick and now behind Tuukka Rask.
Well, we got good news and bad news. The good news is you no longer have to play behind Jonathan Quick.
Yeah.
Well, now you're playing behind Tuukka Rask, who I mean, you know, he's a good goalie and he likes to play a lot. So, you know, hang on a second. What about this idea? How does this maybe affect Malcolm Subban? Is there maybe a tie in there? Subban was the backup in the making, and now.
Well, he can still play in the minors. Doesn't have to play waivers.
Yeah, no, he can for sure. Yeah, but I mean, they have their goaltending scenario right now between Rask, Jones, Malcolm Subban is off the charts. So Jones is likely the one to go. He's the one that doesn't quite fit right now. But remember, they've got that asset in Malcolm Subban as well. Man.
What are you hearing about the Edmonton Oilers and Cam Talbot?
Yeah, well, I mean, it sounds like the goaltending dance that's been going on all day. Slats is going to take this thing right down to the wire in an effort to get the best deal that he possibly can. We thought that was a possibility. We hear San Jose's first rounder might be on the table to try and get that done. And good for Slats. He held out and finally, you know, it sounds like he will get the first rounder if he really wants it. Now, doesn't mean that's necessarily the best package. It really doesn't. And you know who's made this mistake in the past? Jay Feaster made this mistake in the past when he was trading Jerome McGinley and Jay Bomeister. He wanted desperately to get first round picks, and he turned down a deal from the Detroit Red Wings that could have been, I mean, I think Thomas Tatar was part of that. Nyquist might have been part of it. Like, because the optics of getting that first round pick, they get fixated on that. They got to get that first rounder. So they're standing there holding the first round pick.
I'll take a Thomas Tatar over at number 20 any day.
It's not always the best deal. And so the Oilers, with their 2 second rounders and a good prospect, perhaps, if they're willing to add that to the mix, that might be every bit as good as a first round pick. If it's a late first round pick, it might just be. So, I mean, good on Slats and Jeff Gordon. They've held their ground. They have the goalie that I think most teams probably wanted. And they'll probably get a good return here. I think the Oilers are still in the fight on it. But with Jones now gone, with Lehner gone, they've said they've looked into the unrestricted market a little bit. I don't know if that's Kari Ramo. Anderson will be off the table now. I can't imagine it'd be Niemi. It's starting to thin out a little bit. The herd is being culled, and they need to get in on this. The Oilers need to get this done.
Ask the question to all of our listeners. Got a lot of good text messages and had a few phone calls in regards to expectations of Peter Chiarelli. And what if he comes away without, like, he needs at least one of a goaltender or a defenseman before the weekend's out. And when you see that Dougie Hamilton's already been moved, now, obviously, he put in a good effort and came away with it. I wonder if that puts him in more of a, and I'm looking at Peter Chiarelli right now. He's looking very calm, relaxed, standing about 25 feet away from us right now. But I'm curious as to kind of what Chiarelli's thinking right now on the goaltender and defense front.
Yeah, well, the pressure's on to get it fixed, no question. And for all, the one thing, I mean, he does a good job of under-promising, right, with the idea that he'll be able to at least over-deliver a little bit. But the one thing that he has done in all of his posturing on the netminders is he's really made it sound like, oh, it's getting done. Like, there's one to be had. You know, lots of goalies, not that many teams looking. You know, he's really made it sound like it's a foregone conclusion, this is getting fixed. And so when the dance ends, if he's sitting there with Ben Scrivens and that's it, that'll definitely look bad for him. Now, it indicates to us that they're going the unrestricted route. I'm sure they've talked to guys. I'm sure they have a couple of ideas and deals they can put in place almost right away. But if they get up there and make that 16th pick, if there's no defenseman added by the end of the day, if there is no goaltender added by the end of the day.
End of the weekend, you mean?
End of the weekend, okay. Yeah. Sorry, because tomorrow's obviously a big day for the second round. But if they haven't added either of those pieces, what they do is they put themselves in a tough spot heading to free agency, because it's not a great free agent crop. You're always overpaying, and you kind of hamstring yourself a little bit.
I'm not a guy who thinks Sakara is a $6 million defenseman.
No, absolutely not. I mean, McQuaid just got 2.75. McQuaid just got done, which he could have got more in free agency. He obviously wanted to stay. There's been some reports that the Oilers did meet with that camp yesterday and had some discussions with them about Adam McQuaid. I thought they'd be on him all along. It doesn't surprise me that they were. That would have been a guy I think they really could have used and needed. But, you know, there's other guys out there. I mean, I can't imagine Vancouver would want to deal with him on Kevin Bieksa, or that he'd waive to go there, but it's that type of guy. I mean, Frankie Beauchemin will probably go to market here. There's still some guys out there, but I don't think Chiarelli wants to get through the first round and the rest of this draft without at least addressing one of those two significant needs. He's got to get the goalie done.
They've yet to change the board here at the BB&T Center in Florida, the draft board, that is. But it is official. Milan Lucic is now a member of the Los Angeles Kings. Yeah, the Bruins also eating a little bit of salary in the final year of his contract, from what I've been told.
Okay, not sure
how much.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, I guess, from an LA perspective. But obviously we know Justin Williams is not coming back to Los Angeles now. I don't see Williams at his stage and where the Oilers are. He's a winger. I don't see him being a fit for the Edmonton Oilers. I want to talk about your thoughts on the Soderberg deal that happened early this morning. He gets a 5-year deal, 4.75 average salary for him. He's had two seasons in the NHL, 44 and 48 points for him. And it's kind of a third line guy, really, in a lot of cases. He did play second line a little bit this year when Krejci got injured. You know, maybe he moves into that, but Matt Beleski, I know, turned down $4 million in 4 years. Somebody might pay this guy more than Carl Soderberg. I said it the minute Anaheim got knocked out of the playoffs. Here's my poster boy for the most overpaid guy. And I'm hearing that he's looking for $5 million a year.
Oh, yeah.
He's a winger who has a career high of 32 points.
I know. Yeah, but I mean, he went on a run. He was good for them when it mattered. and he's looking to cash in. And we've seen this before, right? I mean, what was Brian Bickle's career high when he did his deal? And back then, that was a heavy deal for what he'd accomplished as well. It happens. Guys get hot at the right time of year, and they take advantage of a team that's looking to make a splash, a team that has a weakness. They're willing to overpay a little bit in free agency, and that's what these agents will prey upon, and that's what this agent will try and prey upon, and good on them. That's what they're supposed to do. That's their job. But I thought the Soderberg contract was a little hefty. I feel like this is a $3.5 million player, $4 million player at the most. I think you're overpaying to get them, but that's what you have to do in unrestricted free agency sometimes. And if it allows them some peace of mind and allows them to move Ryan O'Reilly and solidify their back end, so what if you're overpaying your second line guy by, or I mean, whether they play him at center or the wing, whatever, but if you're overpaying him by $500,000, $1 million, you were able to shore yourself up on the back end. Sometimes you got to do deals that are a little bit ugly to have other ones done that make sense. And to me, that's what this is about, is they need to move Ryan O'Reilly. They're going to be able to now. And Soderberg is the reason for that. They jump ahead of everybody else in the queue by doing the deal, trading for his rights, being aggressive. They use the system the way it's supposed to be used, overpaid a bit. But if O'Reilly goes, and it makes in a deal that makes sense, the whole thing fits.
Yeah, you got to think they're going to look at a defenseman if you're Colorado.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, O'Reilly is a good player. He's well-respected out there. He's a very good two-way center that has some nice offense to his game. He's a good team guy. There will be a deal out there. People are looking for that guy. Now, the only scary thing is the number you're hearing is $7 million that he wants on his next deal, and that gets people a little bit nervous. But if he stays healthy for a year or stays healthy for, you know, he'll earn every penny of that. So it's not over with Colorado. They got some wheeling and dealing to do, and they have to shore up that back end.
Interesting watching Doug Wilson and Peter Chiarelli have a conversation on the floor right now.
Let's make something up. Well, how's that be? Okay,
Brent Burns?
Brent Burns. That's a good one. Yeah. They missed out on Dougie Hamilton, right? I believe the Oilers were going to take a big swing for Dougie Hamilton.
They did.
They weren't sitting on the sidelines.
No.
They were, and you know what? They need their defenseman. I think Todd McClellan knows all too well what Brent Burns is capable of. And I think that would be an ideal fit at Edmonton. You got a guy who can be a power forward for you, or he can be a good.
Would you trade the 16 for Burns?
What's Burns left?
Burns has 2 years left.
2 years left. Yeah, I mean that's a pretty good chunk of time with a pretty good player. I think you'd have to consider doing that. I really do. As good a player as you can get at 16, to fix yourself on the back end in your top four with a player like that, that's pretty hard to turn down. That's being proactive. Getting someone with a proven track record and filling a hole that you had to fill, I wouldn't have too much problem with that deal.
The expectations, people are like, hey, the Oilers, look at the Western Division, Ryan. The Calgary Flames made the playoffs. They've added Dougie Hamilton. Ooh. The LA Kings missed the playoffs. They've added Milan Lucic.
Like they weren't hard enough to play against, eh?
And gave up a backup goaltender.
Yeah.
All right, the West is tough, and I'm telling you, the Oilers, any Oilers fan, Connor McDavid, be damn excited about it. But next season, if the Oilers are competing in March, that's a huge accomplishment.
Oh, man. Well, think about rolling into L.A. now. I mean, so you roll into L.A., I mean, they've still got Jordan Nolan, right? And they've still got a bunch of big, strong guys that make life miserable for you. And that's not going to be an easy team to face. And the Oilers do not have much in the way of size. They needed an Adam McQuaid. They need a Brent Burns. They need a 6'3" body that can bang with those guys when they go into those big buildings with big teams. So. You're on the clock, Peter Chiarelli. He's got to get something done here.
And looking at the LA Kings, I'm telling you, you've got Kopitar, Lucic, both UFAs next year. Dustin Brown right now is killing them with his contract at $6 million. So, you know, Mike Richards are going to have to buy out, which could cost them a ton. Jeff Carter's a legit player. Gabrick, he's still all right, but they just re-signed Tyler Toffoli, of course. But, you know, they've got a lot of money tied up in some top gunners. And Dustin Brown, just as a shadow of himself, he really slowed down, and who knows, maybe it was just the wear and tear from all those 3 long years of postseason. right? So we'll see what happens with the LA Kings. But, yeah, you know, it looks like they're kind of loading up for next year.
And then
after that, they might have to make some decisions.
Yeah. No, they'll have to move on with some of their guys. And, I mean, they at the same time, they just did a deal with Toffoli, did they not? They locked him up. He's a very good young player for them. He's a guy that every year is going to have a bigger and bigger, more important role for them.
Yeah, he still just got the 2 years at 3.25.
Yeah, 2 years. Yeah, and that's a nice deal for him. I mean, he's a good player. That's a good bridge deal for a really good young player. And so that deal makes a lot of sense for them. They've still got one of the best goaltenders on the planet. I mean, yeah, they're going to be in a bit of a tough situation. The Voinov stuff's got to get sorted out. They've been through it with Stoll here. They'll move on with him. Lombardi's got some work to do to try and keep his team near the top of the heap, and they hit a stumbling block this year. Which way they go next year, it's going to be very interesting to see. I mean, the Boston Bruins, same thing, right? That's the challenge. That's what Chiarelli wasn't able to do in Boston, was to keep them at the top of the hill while turning it over at the same time. We're watching Stan Bowman trying to do right now what Pete Chiarelli failed to do
with
the Boston
Sharp
Bruins.
Patrick Sharp getting traded today.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I think that makes sense. They need to identify Brandon Saad. There's Stan Bowman right there. They need to identify Brandon Saad as a key piece of their team moving forward, which means they got to move on with some older guys. Bigger question for me, Brent Seabrook. Now, people would think they're insane to trade Brent Seabrook. He's such a huge part. I mean, he's every much the captain of that team as Jonathan Toews is. They'd be crazy to move him. But this is part of what Chiarelli wasn't able to do when he was in Boston. Sometimes to keep yourself afloat and to turn it over on the fly, you got to move guys who might still be a big part of it in the moment, who people are going to raise an eyebrow and go, how did you move that guy? But you got to think outside the box. And Brent Seabrook is going to be an unrestricted free agent here. And it doesn't make any sense to move him in the here and now. But think of the assets you could get from somebody in return for Seabrook, who's got a year left on his deal, especially if you're trading him somewhere where they believe they'd have a chance to re-sign him. Now you are turning over, you still have Duncan Keith, right? You still have lots of other good young players. You're trying to turn it over on the fly. And had Chiarelli done that with Krejci instead of handing him the big deal, had he done that with some of his other guys, not Sagan, but some of his other guys, maybe that's the way to turn the roster over mid-stride instead of having to tear it all down. And I wonder if Stan Bowman will think outside the box. Patrick Sharp's not going to be enough. There's going to have to be more.